Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
One in five new marriages can be traced back to a dating app.
Carrie and I met on an app. Did you know that?
Really?
Yeah, Venmo. She was requesting money.
Bada bing, bada boom. Do the other residents of Desert Greens get annoyed when you set up your lawn chair out in front of the street sign in front of Desert Greens to do your reports? I was just curious about that.
Not at all, Mike. They have very bad vision here. Usually, they can't really tell what's going on. I just tell them that they're going to be on TikTok. They don't know what that means, but they get excited.
He gave the title to the reverse cowgirl position.
Well, that's a drag.
I don't think I've had that too much in my life.
I don't think I have either.
I like it.
I'm more of a city slicker.
Oh, stop it. Stop.
It's so
gross. Oh, God. You wreck it all the time.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to our Thursday show. This is The Mike O'Mara Show. Oscar will be here momentarily, and we are very happy to see you on a Thursday. Thanks for covering for me yesterday, Rob Spiewak.
We had a good time, but we missed you. I tell you what I missed you most is reading disclaimers.
Yes.
So welcome home.
Well, that's practice, I think. That's playing a trumpet.
You know? I suppose.
Welcome to the show. I have to start today with I was in a building yesterday and walked by a framed jersey of legendary Washington Redskin Sonny Jurgensen. And now, for those of you that might be new to the show and don't go back all that long with us, might be new to you, but Sonny Jurgensen was a legendary Hall of Fame quarterback who played for the Philadelphia Eagles, I believe, and the Washington Redskins. And then Sonny's second career was a broadcaster for the team.
Yes.
And the Washington team.
And he did some TV work too.
Did TV work, but really best
that was
known
his bread and butter.
Post football.
Yeah.
And I sent the picture to Rob because although Sonny has all these accomplishments, when we
the picture. Thank you.
When we got the rights to the team at the beginning of the Snyder era, it was an opportunity for Rob and Don and Cameron Gray and a number of people that were associated with a radio station known as WJFK to produce the broadcast. We had the radio rights to the Washington Redskins, and therefore we went from being a hot talk, guy talk, man talk, shock talk radio station to kind of being a full service station like the news stations with a football team in the hold.
And I will say this, is that when we captured those rights at WJFK, they really went in full force. They actually spoke to the people that designed the Eagles broadcast in Philadelphia with the parabolic mics and the miking of the field. It was sort of the next level to put a game on with stereo effects. Everything was going so well until they realized WJFK didn't reach the stadium. So we had a weird signal
pattern. We had a weird signal for our radio station.
We covered all of Manassas.
It hamstrung the station, certainly ratings-wise. And it was just a weird world.
Wouldn't you think that the corporation of the Washington football team would ask, and your signal's good, right?
Yeah. Your signal's good, like right outside in the parking lot of where we play our home games, right?
Right. So we had to simulcast on the classic rock station the games.
Yep.
Even though we held the rights. It was crazy.
Strange things. I was the only one probably not involved in any way with the team.
I think you're right.
I didn't have anything to do with it. I don't know if that was. Whatever the circumstances, I certainly never lobbied for any participatory role. And the thing about Sonny Jurgensen is there are a lot of football teams around the country where their radio broadcast teams were grizzled old radio announcers and then football players.
Yeah.
And back in the day, I like to think we had one of the best, worst broadcast teams in football.
That is so well said.
You had a broadcaster, Frank Herzog, who was good, but he was good in a very unique way. He was not a classic play-by-play announcer.
No.
He just did it, and I think he probably stumbled into it. I don't know how he got it at the beginning.
The thing about him is he's a TV guy.
He's the backup TV guy.
Yeah,
he fell into Channel 9 right. in Washington, D.C. And the thing about, and I was, I just, my mind was racing when I contacted you
last
night.
That's so funny.
And I said, we have to do a walk down memory lane because these stories are funny. Frank Herzog, Sonny Jurgensen, and Hall of Famer Sam Huff, who really made
the greatest linebacker in the history of the NFL.
And he'd let you know that.
He would.
He made his name with the New York Giants.
Mm-hmm.
But there they were, and I think Sam Huff. Later in his career, Washington Redskins.
His career wound down with the Redskins, yeah.
So these guys, here's the joy of it, and I thought back to it. I thought back of how horrible these fans have suffered, because I'm suffering right now as a New York Giants fan, and I said, yeah, during the suffering times, it was so difficult. But prior to that, when I first came into the market as a radio broadcaster, things started to go pretty damn well.
Yeah.
And we had a lot of relationships. I had a relationship with Joe Theismann
yes.
and John Riggins, Hall of Famers, both of them. And there were Super Bowl victories.
There was a time when Mark Rypien was like a regular on your show.
And the team was hitting on all eights.
Yes.
And the team was just win, win, win. Many, many playoff appearances, many Super Bowl appearances, and championships, and it was just go, go, go. And the town of Washington, D.C., as I call it, the town, was a very transient town. People come to Washington from everywhere else.
Yeah, no one really lives here.
The one unifying tissue was the football team.
I agree.
Everybody cared. They were the be-all, end-all. They were the only thing that, certainly the only thing that mattered in sports, and in most cases, the only thing that mattered once football season started were the Redskins. That's just the way it was.
Yes.
And I came into this as I am now a diehard Giants fan. And for a large chunk of my run, no one knew that. I kept
that a
secret.
You had to pretend. Yeah, you really did.
Because you'd get in big trouble if you did that. I talked about the Red
rival.
Sox all
yeah.
the time.
Yeah.
It was a big, big deal. And sitting at the king of all of it, the old king, was Sonny Jurgensen, who was, just revered in Washington, D.C.
Yes.
Absolutely revered, sat on top of the mountain, and there he is sitting right there. Thank
yes.
you, Mac, for these wonderful pictures and
I love
keep
it.
Them coming. And Sonny was just, how to describe Sonny, Rob, and I'm going to let Rob kick in with his personal Sonny stories. Sonny, most NFL superstars have a life of total ass kissing. They get it from the time they are probably little league football players all the way through college and then into the pros.
Well, by the time you're in the pros, they seek you out to kiss your ass.
It's absolutely, and Sonny not only had it during his playing career, but because he was a broadcaster and he was very involved, it was everybody kissing Sonny's ass.
He was so beloved in this town.
Mm-hmm.
By the way,
Sonny has not passed.
No.
So,
oh, he's still alive.
Oh, my God. Are we going to get in trouble if something happens?
Nah, I don't think so. I don't think anything's going to happen.
Now I'm worried about that.
Roll the dice, baby. Roll the dice.
Good Lord.
When I was brought home from the hospital as an infant, my father had hung a Sonny Jurgensen poster over my crib because he was such a beloved figure in Washington mm-hmm. sports at that time. And there was a sort of a quarterback controversy mm-hmm. way back in the day. Sonny versus Billy Kilmer. Yeah.
Right.
And we were all a Sonny family. So that
he was the established old guy.
Yeah. And he was a little more charming than Mr. Kilmer.
And the thing is, athletes of the day were not the same physical specimens that they are today. And so you would have, guys that, certainly like their adult beverages.
Sure.
And like their bad food. And then they'd go out and throw four touchdowns on a Sunday. And Sonny was in that category.
Yeah.
Now, the broadcast career of Sonny with, and they were known in Washington as Frank, Sonny, and Sam. And people that are listening to me and have for a long time know exactly who I'm talking about.
Like the promo was, turn down your TV.
Yeah,
turn up Sonny, Sam, and Frank.
The thing about this broadcast team, and not I don't include Frank Herzog in this, but okay. I include Sonny and Sam.
Hey, quarterback.
They were the greatest homers that you would ever come across because they just cared. They were first and foremost fans that got the job as broadcasters. There was a little X and O-ing, but very little.
Oh, no.
Very little of what you would hear on an antiseptic color commentator today that would know every play and, what the schemes are,
like,
and all that.
God be unto you if you turn in to the fourth quarter to Sonny, Sam, and Frank.
Tune in.
And it's a blowout.
Yeah, and I'm going to talk about that.
Okay, good. You're
stealing my headline.
Okay,
here.
I'm sorry about that.
You could tune in late in the game or early in the game.
Anytime, really.
I could listen, turn that on in the car, and I would know within at least 10 minutes without a score being given. And they didn't do that. God knows they didn't do that.
Well, they tried to fix that, you know.
Yeah,
they gave
I know.
Sam an egg timer.
I understand. We'll get to that in a second. Calm down. Don't skip ahead. They had a mood about them, and it was fan mood, and it was hysterical because if they were in good moods and they were laughing and they were, it's because their team was winning, like the normal fan.
Exactly.
And I was thinking about, we used to give them such a hard time. I, in particular, at the time, I loathed it. I said, "Don't be professional." And then I began to appreciate it, and it began to make me laugh.
Yeah, it's comforting.
And by the way, on the right is Frank Herzog.
Right,
and then you have Sonny Jurgensen in the middle and Sam Huff on the left. And I'm going to tell you something that, or on your right, depending on where you are.
Yeah, depending on how you can always hit the flip.
But here's the thing. Frank was one of the nicest guys in the world.
Truly,
really,
truly.
Really nice gentleman and a fine gentleman. But, Sam and Sonny were homers. The greatest example of homers. And I was waxing nostalgic on it. Thinking about, man, I used to give him a hard time. We used to have a running joke, but boy, I miss that kind of stuff
because
it's really a throwback to the old days.
It was and folksy. It was very folksy. Comfortable. And
you'd grown up in it, and I hadn't.
Yeah,
you'd grown
true.
Up in it, and you were around it. And then fast forward to we get the rights. Rob Spiewak goes and becomes an on-field announcer, and then you're involved in producing the broadcast, and you're up in the booth, and you start to become like you have with Elvis, like you have with Jerry Lewis. You start to become a connoisseur of Sonny Jurgensen.
Well, he was fascinating to watch.
I will let you take it over. And so yesterday when I'm walking through this locker room and I see the frame picture of Sonny, I start chuckling because I was thinking of you.
I was thinking
of you and the Sonny stories that you had. And I said, today on the show, let's just do a trip down memory lane with Sonny Jurgensen because you were able to really paint the picture of what Sonny was as the entitled athlete and then broadcaster.
Yes.
And there's a Mac, you nailed it.
You're doing great.
That is right there with his big SJ9.
Gotta
Sonny
be.
Had his own line of cigars, and you worked up there with him. You had more contact with Sonny than I ever did.
Now, it was fun. I only went to the box at the old stadium, the RFK box, once, and it was horrible.
You
had to literally hunker down under a beam to get to the radio box in RFK. But in the new stadium, which is FedEx Field, right, in Landover, formerly Jack Kent Cook Stadium, they had a gorgeous radio box adjacent to the television suite on the 50-yard line.
So this is post-Snyder or Ral John? No,
this is
still with the Jack Kent Cook era.
Right. This is right at the beginning of the Kent Cook era.
And they wanted to take care of their broadcast.
They did. And it was the place to watch a game if you had the means.
It is.
So I had an all-access pass since I was the on-field announcer at that time.
Right.
So I could go up and stand in the back. There was room for people to stand there. And
so your participation was not, after you had your duties of being on the field announcing, your work was done for the day. But because you're on the team and you're on the radio station and you're a behind-the-scenes guy as well,
right,
you had all access to the radio booth,
and
right?
That really was one of the greatest pleasures of it, is that occasionally I would get my dad up there, and you know, it's you get someone up there, that's really the
place
to
be. I would have liked to do it, but I never did it. I never did it because I was really just a Giants fan. Anyway, go ahead.
That's where I saw Pat Summerall come out of the TV booth and see Sonny and say, "How you doing, Jergy?"
Really?
Yeah. So they go way, way
back. That's a moment.
Yeah,
right,
it was very cool.
See? That's
very
a cool moment. Those two old guys. That's great.
So you would sit in the booth, and Sam Huff would have an egg timer that was packed in the broadcast kit, and there was a piece of white tape on it that said Sam, and he would reset the egg timer, so like a little hourglass, but 2 minutes. And if the egg timer ran out, he gave the score, no matter what was going on, because, as you said, they are loath to give the score.
And wasn't that kind of the WJFK thing coming in that we were producing, and we wanted a little bit of improvement?
Well, I do remember
all the 12-year-olds that were now taking care of the broadcast.
When we were designing how to cover the game, we were talking about the parabolic mics and miking the field and miking the crowd and introducing music and production elements. And in one of the meetings, Sam Huff said, "I don't know, a lot of sand, a lot of sound, not much Sam." So as
he said, a lot of sound, not much Sam.
Yeah, because he was bothered by all the stuff that was coming in.
A lot of sound, not much Sam.
So as I recall, if you were looking at the field, Sonny was on the left, then Frank, then Sam, then the statistician. Sonny had binoculars that he never used that were put on the counter. Right. And what he would do is he wasn't allowed to smoke his SJ9, the Sonny Jurgensen 9 brand cigar, in the booth. So he would put it in his mouth and then rest it carefully on the eye holes of the binoculars. So the binoculars were really just a cigar stand.
A cigar holder.
Yeah,
I got it.
And if too many people got in the booth, I do remember this very clearly. It might have been like a Christmas time game, and they were still in the hunt, so it was
packed.
Did I
see Oscar for a moment there?
Yeah, he brought the dog in, and he'll be back, I'm sure.
Okay, very good.
And he just said, he turned around, and he said, "Getting kind of crowded in here." And that meant
was Sonny not saying anything other than get everybody out. Right?
And Sonny would get excited. I always recall him. He loved one of their fans would mail in touchdown brownies, which were just brownies. And he said, "And we want to thank Jane Doe for these touchdown brownies." That was the big thing for him. But the best food.
Oscar.
Oh, there he is. Ladies and gentlemen, Oscar Santana.
Good morning, America.
Good morning. We're in the middle of Sunny Memories right now. Oh,
he's
that's
not dead.
What we're doing.
He's not dead.
I was like, did I miss
he's
him?
He's not dead, and we're hoping we don't kill him by
I legit walked into Max studio, his producing room, and I was like, did he die?
No.
This was yesterday. I was in a locker room where there was a friend.
Sonny was there?
There was a framed jersey of Sonny Jurgensen. I thought of Rob. And the guy in back of me walking back doesn't know why I am taking a photograph of it and laughing at the same time. And then I sent it to Rob last night. And Rob was the point man for Sonny's stories.
I remember.
He's doing that right now.
So two good food-related stories with Sonny, besides touchdown brownies, was
they give him a free plug on the air for bringing brownies.
For brownies, a box mix of brownies. There was outside of the press area, there was a buffet set up as a courtesy to all the people covering the game.
Right.
And there were hot dogs there. And I remember one time the clock hit zero for halftime, and no more than half a second after Frank Herzog says, "We'll be back after this," Sonny stands up and says, "Hot dog." Because that's what was on his mind. But
were they losing or winning?
You know what? I don't remember, but it
hot dog.
Nothing was as important to him at that time than the hot dog. The other thing is that under the stadium, as I'm sure in all stadiums, there's a tunnel system, for access around in the stadium.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
I got to, coming out
of the tunnel. That's what they
said. I got to access it and use it, and it was very cool. There was even an elevator that we were allowed to use before Mr. Snyder bought the team and made it his elevator.
So that would go straight down to the basement.
But he said no.
So
one
did
can
he
use
really
it.
Do that? The late Dan Snyder.
Oh,
did
I,
he
really? I was working for WHFS, and this is when WJFK and CBS Radio had the rights for your Washington
That's
Commanders.
That's the era we're talking about right now.
I was 23 years old, and I had to drive the WHFS 4Runner to pick up 50 Domino's pizzas and be at the stadium by 6 a.m. for the tailgate. So we would pick them up at 5 a.m. from a Domino's.
Oh, my God. 6 a.m. for a 1 o'clock game. Yeah. My God.
Every
because
single game.
You had a big
game.
Party. You had a big party with a tent out in the parking lot.
A big party is an overstatement of overstatements because it was me and 50 pizzas.
Yeah.
A big WHFS jacket. Some Bands on the Run CDs and a pop-up tent that said Domino's. Everybody thought I worked for Domino's, but I was there for the radio station.
Classic
and they
CBS
would
promotion.
Just
right
walk by and take a slice, or sometimes they were hammered enough to take the whole pizza.
And you were okay with that, I'm
sure.
I mean,
I just had to take pictures. That's all I had to do.
Promotions with radio, and radio really
so
was
I,
just,
so I was like, I'm all out of pizza. I'm going to go in and hang out with the stars from WJFK and our football team, because they had given me at least that much of an access pass.
Right.
Okay.
So I go and I'm like, well, I'm tired. I'm not going to take the concourse or the steps. Yeah. All
You're
right
not going to walk all the way up to the top.
I'm just not
going to
do that.
Yeah. Is,
I'm not going to do that. And I found the one elevator that was just for Mr. Snyder. And I was told as much by the security guard. They said, unless you're Mr. Snyder or a family member, you cannot get on this elevator.
It was a tidal shift.
So I had to go through the concourse. Like, I'm talking up a ramp to wave somebody down that recognized me.
Is there any better story of a guy being a dick?
No.
How many people he inconvenienced that were not
working
not people,
for him?
Working for him at the game. Broadcasters that relied on that to get up to the broadcast the game. That's for Mr. Snyder or family members
unless
only.
There was a dignitary like Mac McIntosh's grandfather in town.
No, I think that Sonny was probably allowed to use the elevator.
Do you know anything about this? And if I'm going back in time, Mike, and you already talked about this.
No, because I said pointedly, and this is why I rely on Rob for this.
Yeah.
I loved Rob's Sonny Jurgensen stories and stories of the game. I had no interest in being a part of it.
Yeah, because
a fan
you were already
team.
A star.
No, that had nothing to do with it. I was a huge football fan.
What's it like
fan.
To be a star?
I was a huge football fan, but I did not have.
You were
I was
also
not
a Giants
involved,
fan, right? You're
a
Giants fan.
But I was also not involved in the broadcast at all.
Yeah, because Sundays were for God.
Because I wanted to be with my maker. No, the real Rob might
work.
Back me up on
What's
this.
That?
You want to know the real reason?
What's that?
I probably wouldn't have been involved if I'd wanted to be.
That's true. Yeah.
Wouldn't that be?
You would have been excommunicado.
There was only room for one person.
Well, there was one guy at the front of the line.
Yeah.
So
made it really.
And I kind of
elbowed everybody else.
I kind of fell into it because they were going to do a thing where a DJ every week would introduce the team. And then I did it, and then...
And they didn't pay you. You were free.
No, I was 100% on my own. I had to buy my own parking to do it. And then Bruce...
But you did get the all-access pass.
Yeah, I did get the all-access pass, but eventually I got into
to
it
the
because,
stairs.
Because the DJs were not reliable, and they could rely on me. So it was a lot of...
Is that a racial thing?
No, it's not a racial thing.
There was, and then, of course, the famous tape. I don't think
what
you
have
the
What are
you
saying about DJ Flex?
Tape.
How dare you?
The famous tape we had played a million times where you broke your voice broke.
Yes.
When you were introducing...
The Monday night game.
Big Daddy Dan Wilkerson.
But...
A flame out, by the way.
The thing about Sonny and food, I will always think of this. Sonny was treated well by the Snyder administration. So Sonny was allowed...
He had the owner's ear.
So he was able to park down in the tunnel.
Mm-hmm.
And one time, I was walking to get to the stairs, to go to the concourse, mm-hmm. to go up, and I see flying through the tunnel, headlights on. I mean, seriously, in a tunnel, if you're going like 30 miles an hour, you look like you're in NASCAR.
Yeah.
He was going at least 30, maybe 35, 40, headlights on, black Mercedes, and it's Sonny Jurgensen driving with a plum in his mouth.
One of my favorite visuals.
I mean, he's
ever described on the show.
He's holding it in his teeth.
Shows you entitled.
Yes.
Well, there he is. You know, I'm here.
Yeah.
I'm having my plum.
I have my plum. Margo said to have a plum. Now, the other thing, and you probably don't even remember this very well, is that he was contracted to phone in to the Don and Mike show. I think it was every Monday.
Right.
And because of that, he doesn't care. I had to phone him every Monday to remind him, one of my jobs.
Right.
His answering machine, God, I wish I had taped it, started with him clearing his throat.
Like,
yeah, exactly. You'd hear, you know, like, you know, ring, 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 click.
That's like the millennial pause now on social media. Like, you don't have to clear your throat on or even say
right.
wait and then go, right?
Mm-hmm. You have reached the home of Sonny and Margot Jurgensen.
That's funny.
And then another moment with him that was really, for me, a showstopper was we were doing Radio Row at the Super Bowl. And this is a long time ago. He was doing the show with the great George Michael.
We interrupt this discussion to mention Sonny Jurgensen is still alive.
He is still alive.
Yes, he is.
There's nothing wrong with him that we know of. Thank you very much.
So George was doing his football show, George Michael, and it was a live TV hit, and they had a stage set up. And it was Sonny and George up there. And, you know, everybody fights for guests at a Radio Row thing because people of suspect celebrity are wandering around. Maybe you can flag them down, maybe you don't. But
right.
Sonny would be a great score. And this actually resulted in one of the greatest things ever. We had Sonny and Paul Horning on at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And they were talking about how they hated working under Vince Lombardi because he was such a dick.
Right.
But when I got to Sonny, I had to work through the crowd and he'd finish his TV hit. And he comes down and I lock eyes with him. He actually gives me eye contact. I say, hi, Mr. Jurgensen. My name is Rob Spiewak. I produce the Don and Mike show on WJFK. And we would love to have you come by our radio booth. We've spoken before and it would be really nice if you could just give us five. And I'm rambling and really putting on the hard press and there's a dead stop and he looks at me, he says, I know who you are.
It's always wonderful when a legend tells you you're a moron.
That's just him though.
That is him.
Yeah. The level, it's not anything in the world of celebrity.
Yes.
It's different, even than that. Even regular pop celebrities.
Yes.
You don't necessarily, unless you're maybe 10, 12 celebrities in you know, in each generation, get that kind of treatment.
Yeah.
But with Sonny going from the football field to the broadcast in a town where the only thing mattered was this football team, this man has had the smoke blown up his Sonny Jurgensen derriere for decades.
Yeah, nonstop.
Decades. He is royalty.
And it continues.
It's just hysterical.
He's almost a recluse now. You know, they sent...
Boy, wasn't he just out?
Yeah, well, the thing is
he came up to see the team.
They sent the private plane because he can't really travel anymore.
Well, wait a second. There's a difference here. Do you know 100% he can't travel, or is that something that he said? Hey,
yeah, that's
he said
something
the jet.
You want to be careful.
It
about.
Was said. He said that travel is very inconvenient for him now.
It's inconvenient
well,
for
that's
everybody.
Different. That's but Sonny. That's not necessarily
maybe it
because
maybe
it is.
Maybe it is.
You know?
But the fact
to
is,
to call him a recluse, and then also maybe, hey, I don't come unless you send the PJ. Like,
well, you know what? Send all letters to me.
Well, I mean, that's
I saw him next
know,
to the new owner.
Yeah,
he was
standing there. They weren't
he
holding
looked
him
fine
up.
To me.
But I'm saying that
this guy, he's a recluse. He doesn't like traveling.
Well, I mean, he doesn't do anything anymore in the media.
Well, he's no longer on the broadcast.
Right.
He might be playing golf.
I don't think that
every
was
day.
His choice either, you know.
Oh, I think you're right there.
Yeah.
Also, the other thing about Sonny is in the Dan Snyder era, they would go up before the broadcast to the roof of the stadium. And look
and
down at the
cigars.
Field, smoke cigars, and then Daniel Snyder would reveal to him the first three plays that the Washington football team were going to run.
You want to know why that team had trouble?
That?
Really? Can you imagine that? Really, the owner doing that.
Yeah.
Here they are. Here they are. I don't like that one. Anyway,
touchdown, Brownies.
Touchdown. Man, it just was, and then when I saw this, you know, you would think, hey,
so
cool.
Great.
Hall of Famer on the wall, jersey. Yeah. But no, instead, I just chuckled with all the different Sonny stories that we had. And there was a tobacco company in Northern Virginia, actually in the D.C. area.
Yes.
I forgot the name of it. I don't know if it's still in business Garipesh. Around Washington. Gab, do you remember the name of the company?
Was it Old Virginia Tobacco?
Might have been. And he had his own line. They were called SJ9.
Yeah. SJ9.
Sonny yeah. Jurgensen and
Old
his number
Virginia
nine.
Tobacco Company.
Yeah.
Now, the only other story I can tell you that I heard from a sheriff's department guy was about in his early days, like so many of these football players, Sonny liked to have an adult beverage or
he
two.
Sure did.
Or 20. And he had routinely gotten stopped for driving with after he'd had a few drinks. And apparently, now this is not my story. I heard this secondhand, so I cannot speak to its veracity. But this came out of the mouth of a sheriff that I was sitting across from. And the joke is, when they heard that Sonny had been pulled over, the question would be, is it a 6 or a 9? Referring to the fact of, was the car on the ground or had it been flipped over?
Because Sonny was number 9.
Because he might have flipped his car over.
I don't know what kind of careless driver would flip a car.
Oh, my God. It was just so many
That's
stories.
That's insanity.
So many stories. And so salute to number 9. Who wanted his hot dogs
and his touchdown brownies.
Any other tip-ins for Sonny at all about that, or was that pretty much it?
I think that's about it. Okay. I would say this. If you do ever get a chance to meet the man, try not to stare at his teeth.
By the way, with all the entitlement and all the hot dog,
yeah.
Never an obvious dick, ever.
No.
Not to me,
Absolutely
certainly.
Not, no.
Oh, but always to me, extremely aware of who he was, which
never
is
forgot
okay.
that. Yeah,
I mean, it was that was Sonny, mm-hmm. and Sonny being Sonny, and Sonny could kind of do whatever he wants, and he probably still can if he goes to the stadium. That's the way he can roll.
Didn't you have an encounter with Sam Huff on a plane?
We are down in, I want to say Dallas, for a Dallas Redskins game. We get on the plane, and we had always made fun of the broadcast of Sonny Jurgensen, Sam Huff, and Frank Herzog.
Right.
And we had occasionally alluded to the fact that, you know, Sam is kind of a big, dumb linebacker.
Yeah.
And we'd always do it like, I'm Sam Huff. Because he did. Because first of all, the man was very successful, not only in football, in broadcasting, but in business. So he was an accomplished man. But he, on the air, he had that, I don't know what you're talking about. That's the way he sounded.
Do you know what
him,
his, legendary
I made fun of it.
His legendary business deal was?
Marriott.
Yes, he got Marriott and the NFL combined. It was a very big deal at the time.
And there he is. There he is on the right. And got the sunny days, man.
Yeah, that's
funny. Great. Brought something
I've
to
never
the table.
Seen him that young.
Yeah, that's back in the day. And man, oh man.
Yeah, outside of
they
being
were
on the
fun.
Field in the
yeah,
replays.
You know, at RFK, I can almost smell the urine.
I had a dream about George Michael just 2 nights ago.
Really?
Isn't that
I had a
wild?
Weird dream. I had a weird wild. Dream last
and
night.
And I never met him. I just watched him on television.
We should do a dream segment because
I would like
I have
to hear
to tell
about
you
it. Yeah.
So getting back to, we would talk about Sam and it would be a little bit disparaging. And yeah. We're getting on the plane. And in those days, the contract for our morning show allowed us to fly first class. And the three principals that you're looking at right there, they flew first also,
yeah. mm-hmm.
flew for games. As we are coming in front of Sam Huff, we're directly in front. And I think we're in a Frank Herzog Sam Huff sandwich getting on the plane first.
That's delicious.
And Frank Herzog says, hey, Sam, these are the two guys that make fun of you all the time. Herzog, I mean, not hesitating,
I mean,
throwing us.
Jesus
I forgot
Christ.
About that. I forgot that Herzog
squarely under the bus. I mean, squarely. And Don and I shrank
yes.
to puny DJ size. And at that particular, Sam, still an incredibly imposing
yes.
linebacker in the NFL, put his big, meaty arms around us and said, don't ever question my intelligence. And we sat down and we thought it was the greatest thing in the world.
That was a
we
great retort.
It was the greatest thing. Oh, it was
right?
a great story.
Yeah. Say whatever you want. I'm no dummy.
My God. And you know what? It was just fun. I loved it. I love anybody that brings something to the table, and we need more of that.
Yeah.
We need more of that. We need more guys. It's called color.
Mm-hmm.
It's called color commentary. It's called bring something sizzling.
Right.
Not knowing what the plays are, not predicting what the next play is going to be. Bring a John Madden color to the broadcast, and we need guys that can do that. And you know what?
Eat a plum.
Sadly, it seems to me, in many sports, the guys that do this have gone by the by. They really don't bring in the guys that have that. And by the way, I am so sorry for not acknowledging the fact that one of the legendary Boston Red Sox players, I believe at only 57 years of age, passed away. Knuckleballer Tim Wakefield, who was a legend in Boston, and really, really sad, unbelievably dedicated guy for charitable causes, and did so much off the field for that organization. Mm-hmm. Brain cancer, that goddamn cancer, took his life, and you know, very young man to lose at that age. So safe home to Tim Wakefield.
In a world of sports, to have, especially with the NFL on a Sunday of all things,
mm-hmm. yeah.
stop and honor Tim Wakefield speaks volumes of who he was.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really, and I got to see him. I got to meet him, and really, I got to see him, I think it was in Baltimore, where he was doing a charitable thing, and a great, great, great player, clutch player, reinvented himself, you know, the knuckleball in baseball, to get into the weeds of baseball a little bit. Very, very artfully taught. Mm-hmm. In the major leagues, and very difficult to master. Not many could do it. Very, very few. You can count them on a couple of hands,
can
the
you,
number
for
of successful knuckleballs.
A Rube, just give a thumbnail of what
a knuckleball
is.
A knuckleball is essentially a ball that does not spin.
Okay.
And so when you throw a ball at varying velocities that has no rotation on it whatsoever, the ball will respond to the wind currents, and that is how the ball will move. And that's what a knuckleball does. And it was also thrown in such a way that it's slower than the pitches that these major leaguers are accustomed to hitting.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're a good knuckleball and you have it working, you can stand a team on its head because they can't hit the ball.
Okay. Thank you.
Oscar.
Okay. So we're speaking about baseball. It's a perfect time. And thank you for the pivot.
Mm-hmm.
Two things. Cool. One, Frontline. Yes, I'm 80 years old. I watch Frontline and the nightly news.
You watch Frontline?
Yeah.
Wow.
Is that like a flea and tick thing?
No, it's a news program.
Oh, okay.
On
it's a PBS news program.
Oh, the public broadcasting
throwback
system.
It soothes,
the real old man knows where it is.
Yeah,
it soothes
me, maybe because it reminds me of my childhood, right?
It's excellent journalism. Some of the best programs ever on that.
I don't like it.
They have a special.
Thanks, Sonny.
On the Astros.
Okay.
A full program that breaks
cheating,
down the cheating
yes. Astros.
Oh, really?
Perfect timing, playoffs, mm-hmm. breaks it all down. I'm just a rube because I forget that detail, but who was the
Alex
sports,
Cora.
No, the sports writer who called and had the cover on Sports Illustrated. This, you're going to love this, actually.
Okay. A
Boston guy.
Peter Gammons.
I'll find his name in 2 seconds.
Dan right. Shaughnessy.
I'll find it. You won't even be able to say.
You're killing me.
But Sports Illustrated, on their cover in 2014, said, you're 2017 World Series champions.
So they predicted
about the
it.
Astros.
Yeah.
And everybody panned them, said, you're crazy, there's no effing way, and it happened.
That's wild. I love it.
Like Back to the Future.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they had that author of that story who then followed the rise and then fall and then what is essentially the scarlet letter of cheating in Major League Baseball.
Part of that team,
yes.
The current
Red
manager
Sox.
Of the Boston Red
yes.
Sox, who was suspended by baseball, then rehired by the Red Sox.
I
attaboy.
Also thought, so the front line, if you're out there, if you're under 20, it's worth a gander. If you're under 30, it's worth a gander. If you're under 70, it's worth a gander.
If you're if you're 80 or above, you're already watching it.
Yes. The other is the Tampa Bay Rays playoff game. Less than 20,000 in attendance for a wild card game.
Wow.
In St. Pete's.
Wow.
The MLB went out of their way to do a little PR and spin and say, hey, like we're only 5,000 under sell out for this field,
right?
This ballpark, and they actually, it would be the case if they weren't counting the upper deck. They weren't counting the upper deck.
Oh no!
Oh my God!
So if you're the Rays
And a nice day in Florida
and
yesterday.
And you're building an effing stadium right next to this other stadium that can't get 20,000 people to effing watch a wild card game.
Yeah. Amazing. Bad news.
That's an effing problem, right?
And look, you're part of the problem. Rob, was there any bigger baseball fan than I was?
No, you lived and breathed it.
I don't know what the problem is. But hey, if the Giants keep sucking, I'll go back to the Red Sox. That's it. Yeah, there you go. I will. I promise. That's very sad. We will take a break. Come back with the round table. You are listening to the Mike O'Mara Show. Whoa, whoa. And,
Mike, one last thing.
Yes.
Cutting the cheese is farting.
They were talking about cutting the cheese and... Sam didn't know what it meant, and Sonny said, "Cutting the cheese is farting, Sam." We'll be right back. Oh, man, I love Groove Life. I love their belts. I love their wallets. I love having them as a sponsor of this show. We are sponsored by Groove Life. Level up your style game with Groove Life belts. I've made the switch, and these belts are my constant companions. Keep making them, Groove Life. Keep making new ones. We love you. The Groove Belt boasts unique webbing for perfect stretch and a revolutionary buckle with powerful neodymium magnets. No hassle. Just snap on effortlessly. It's fantastic. Say farewell to bothersome belt flaps with the ingenious StiffTech buckle. Trust me, your waist will thank you. It really is easier.
So
it's just
good.
Easier to use. Not that it's a, you know, tremendously difficult thing to buckle your pants, but I have
to
tell you.
Speak for yourself.
Me love the neodymium. Plus, Groove Life backs it all with a whopping 94-year warranty, making it the ultimate belt investment. But hold on, there's more. Groove Life offers exceptional wallets and so much more. Elevate your essentials today with Groove Life. It's time to bring your belt into the 21st century. Head to groovelife.com/TMOS for 20% off all Groove Life products. That's the best offer you'll find, but you have to use our link, groovelife.com/TMOS, for 20% off your order. One last time, that's groovelife.com/TMOS for 20% off your order. Just click the button on our website. Kraken?
He's out.
Hello, Mr. Kraken.
Is that how you greet him?
The Pee-wee greeting. Hello, Mr. Kraken. Where's my thing? Hit the boom, please. Thank you.
Hit the boom.
There it is. President Biden's 2-year-old dog, Commander. This pissed me off.
Yeah.
That's why I'm starting with this. Commander has been removed from the White House because he's a biting machine.
Oh.
Come on. I mean, really, the Secret Service has acknowledged. Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
11 incidents involving its personnel. But sources say Commander has bitten way more people than that. In the real world, ladies and gentlemen, a dog bites 2 people and the dog is gone.
Yeah, put
and
down.
I don't mean gone from the location. I mean gone to the happy hunting ground.
Yep.
Way more people. The White House employees have been bitten. At least one of the victims required hospitalization.
Jesus.
Jill Biden's rep has issued a statement saying, quote, "The president and first lady care deeply about the safety of those who work at the White House and those who protect them every day. This is actually the second German Shepherd the Bidens have had to banish from a White House for aggressive behavior. Major was the first one. These issues have reportedly led to a strained relationship between the Bidens and the Secret Service." Well, the strained relationship because a lot of those
Mike,
guys
did you see
on the other team, to be perfectly honest.
Did you see the exit ceremony yesterday?
I did not.
For when the dog left. I have some audio of it.
Okay, listen.
I don't know why this is funny.
Commander!
Down, boy, down.
Down, boy. I am a supporter of our president. I like our president, but I think that's BS, and yeah.
Do you know what that is?
What's that?
And I hate to do this, but this is...
You think it's a ruse?
No, it's a family member, right? Your dog is a family member.
Absolutely.
I get that.
I would agree.
But it's not like it's you, Rob, or I that have like a one house and this is all we have. This man has resources.
Mm-hmm.
He could like, get that dog trained.
What's your point?
He should have shipped them out a long time ago.
Yeah. I should have shipped out the first bite. You're gone.
And then said, "I'll see you on the other side of this term, dude. It's been real."
Biting like 11 times, and they say way more than that.
Go stay with one of the grandkids.
Yeah.
hang out with their fam.
And you know,
but if you're biting, you don't want around the grandkids either.
You're biting stranger dangers. I had a dog that bit, and you know what? My foreign mom lost all her friends because nobody wanted to come over anymore.
Wow. And that's when a dog, you know, I'm sorry, punches its
ticket.
Yeah,
but she wasn't
ticket.
The president.
I know, but it doesn't matter.
She was just a foreigner.
By the way,
living in Olney.
And I can, who knows what all the real details are. I don't think they can lie about the facts.
No.
And they didn't. They acknowledge it. But at the same time, you know, you hear people, I got a buddy of mine that's worked personal security for high-level generals in the military and has been around the Secret Service. And the way you treat these people matters. By the way, if you're keeping a scorecard on one of the most revered presidents, and this comes from me, a Democrat, one of the most revered presidents, George H.W. Bush, the way he treated the Secret Service. Mm-hmm. That's the truth. That's what I've heard. Mm-hmm. So don't let the dogs bite the Secret Service. Not a really smart thing to do.
Yeah.
You know,
we're still going to vote for the man.
Absolutely. Yes. It's the Biden alternative.
Yeah.
The alternative's up there, you know, losing 250 mil.
You can bite me if you don't.
Saturday Night Live will return. Rob Spiewak, I know you watch it all the time.
Every
October
week.
14.
Ah, it's my mom's birthday.
It's 49th season. Also your mom's age.
Exactly.
49. Pete Davidson, good first guest, will make his hosting debut.
That is good.
With musical guest Ice Spice. Pete was supposed to host in May, but then the writer's strike happened. October 21st, Bad Bunny will be doing double duty as host and musical guest.
They had to bump Bad Bunny because he had bit over 11 people.
Yeah, and one of them went to the hospital.
Now, about Saturday Night Live.
Yes, sir.
I know you were on board for episode one back in the day. You have been with it the whole time.
Yeah, I'm old enough to.
Does it blow your mind that it's season 49?
Not really. I don't think about it that much. Okay. I have to tell you that I know one thing, and I watch the viral videos of SNL.
Yeah.
And I have to say, throughout their history, they've really kept one thing and one thing only consistent, and that is the parody commercials.
So good.
And, you know, I love that part, and I hope that they continue to bring plenty of those. The Wing commercial that they did around the Super Bowl was, I think, one of the best they've ever done. Yeah, that's not enough. How about this? You know, and they doubled to bring it in a dumpster, in a cement mixer, and they poop out all the wings.
What's very funny is that I check out a podcast called Fly on the Wall, and it's hosted by David Spade and Dana Carvey.
Right.
And they bring on Saturday Night Live related guests every week.
Can you get, do you get a little with that particular podcast? Do you get almost too much of, because they both, Dana Carvey in his regular patter sounds exactly like David Spade with his regular patter.
Yeah, they are.
Right?
But, you know, it's one that's really guest dependent. If they get a great guest, it's fascinating. But to a person, everyone is so excited about the 50th. And it's going to be, you know, and it's in planning already. Every cast member gets to come and they don't get a plus one. They're all going to be there. There'll be sketches. And it's funny when you think it's a pretty exclusive club to have appeared on Saturday Night Live, even if it was during a lousy season.
Oh, yeah.
And it's going to be crazy to see all those people under one roof, and it's coming up.
That's very, very cool. SNL, I look forward to it. I'll watch it. I watch my SNL now like I watch a football game that I don't really care about. I get the highlights the following day.
Yeah, and they've sort of matured with the medium that way.
They have. Yeah. Remember when you couldn't go anywhere without flashing your old COVID card? Remember that?
Yeah.
You had to have that with you. The CDC announced they have stopped printing them.
Oh, I thought we were doing digital now, no?
That's a big deal.
How do we keep track of our shots?
I don't know.
I brought my card when I got boosted.
The vaccines aren't being distributed by the federal government anymore. And we're well past the point of bars and restaurants needing them. So they decided there's no reason to print new ones anymore. Since late 2020, they sent out around a billion of them to doctors, pharmacies, and clinics around the country. They can still be used as proof of vaccination. For what reason?
Yeah,
I
if you're
know.
Going to see Wicked on Broadway, you want to
so
show it.
they suggest hanging on to yours and keeping it with your other medical records. Or just hang on to it as a fun memento.
No, I don't think so. But if they're not printing new ones, I don't know how much of these would be replacements. Or who is the person that's starting their vaccination routine now? that needs a card.
Be a little sus, yeah. as you like
yeah,
to say.
It is very sus, Mike.
If you lost yours or burned it in protest, whatever the case may be, the place you got vaccinated probably has a record of it. Hi, Walgreens.
Do you hate getting shots in drugstores like I do?
I always feel as though I'm going to pick up something.
I do, too. Kids running around.
I always feel
around.
Like I'm going to get a flesh act, eating bacteria when
yeah,
I go into those.
Bad news.
A lot of states also have digital records, as Oscar mentioned. Mm-hmm. This doesn't mean the CDC wants you to skip your booster. They say everyone should get it for the holidays, especially older adults and people with compromised immune systems.
I got it, and I didn't have any sort of side effects after the fact except for a little soreness in my arm.
Do you have a compromised immune system with all the drugs you've been on?
No.
Mm-mm. Okay.
I'm good that way, but I am old.
All right, very good.
The idea of a compromised immune system, I don't think it's, for any of us, it's not a byproduct of the meds we take, is it?
Yeah, well, like if you're on chemo, you have a compromised mm-hmm. immune system. If you're on lupus medication, you have a compromised immune system. You're usually, immune system is
autoimmune
compromised.
Disease.
Yeah.
Autoimmune
let's not
disease,
make it about
like
you
Mac.
For a second.
Yeah.
But he does.
He had a full show yesterday.
He got the whole schmear.
I hear he was quite the star
as
yesterday.
A matter of fact, he has a new story for us on the bonus show tomorrow that I think will fascinate
that
you.
Dovetails into his blue bloodedness.
Oh man, I've got way to go, boys, doing the heavy Mac. That's fantastic.
The daddy Mac.
At least one in five new marriages can be traced back to a dating app, but researchers one in five new marriages can be traced back to a dating app. Mm. But researchers from Arizona State University say that a new study shows that online daters are less happy in their marriages. Mm. There were almost 1,000 married couples in the study, about half of whom met online and half who were introduced offline. They asked them questions to get a score for their marriage satisfaction and stability. Mm-hmm. They didn't release the specific numbers, but they did offer a few possible explanations for why these numbers were the case. Number one, couples who met online are more likely in same-sex or interracial relationships, same-sex or interracial relationships, which means they can face more pressures from societal marginalization and be less embraced by those around them. Number two, couples who met online are more likely to have overcome lingering stigmas from family and friends about dating apps that I can understand that,
yeah.
right? You know, yeah. You met her on Tinder, huh? Oh, how about that? Fantastic. Is Tinder really a dating app? I
think not. Yeah.
Let's see.
There's an app called Hinge that I always call Hive.
Why do you call it Hive?
I don't know, because I feel like a beehive is where you would actually go meet people. So when the kids are all talking about Hinge and I'm like, don't you mean Hive? And I'm like, oh my God, I'm so old. I don't even know what these things are called anymore.
That's right.
Is Hinge got any particular
nuances? I think the girls have to ask the boys on Hinge.
But
I could have that wrong. That could be Bumble.
I would have loved that.
Why I think of Hive. Bumble, Bee, Hive.
That makes sense.
Yes. This all makes sense now.
Carrie and I met on an app. Did you know that?
Really?
Yeah. Venmo. She was requesting money.
Thank you. Bada bing, bada boom.
Thank you.
Waka.
Number three, couples who met online are more likely to have to deal with being more remote, at least initially, than couples who met in person. That is not a good factor, apparently.
Mm-mm.
And last one, there's the nature of online dating, which comes with a lot more options, which can lead to people becoming overwhelmed or just getting lost in messaging and stats and not focusing on chemistry together. Well, that's why you go on a bunch of dates before you get married.
Of course.
That's
why you pay them.
What's wrong with pee pill? And now, finally, a British doctor and TikTok star has revealed the most dangerous sex position.
Mm.
Really?
Which he claims is the cause of 50% of penis fractures.
Oh, my God.
Dr. Garen Rajad, a surgical doctor, shares his experience. Karen. It's Karen.
Yeah.
Sorry. It really, we're so Karenized in America now. I read Quran and I turn it into Karen.
Yeah, he's the doctor that complains to the manager.
Hey, come on. This was the worst surgery I ever saw.
Dr. Karen Rajan shared his experience and knowledge with 5.1 million followers on the TikTok.
Yeah.
In a video which has recently gone viral, Dr. Karan told his followers about the sex position he thinks is most likely to lead to a hospital visit. Here's his quote. Although rare, a penis fracture can occur when there is trauma to a, you know, at full attention.
Sure.
According to the Mayo Clinic. I don't need the Mayo Clinic to tell me that.
Great sandwiches there, though.
He gave the title to the reverse cowgirl position.
Well, that's a drag.
I don't think I've had that too much in my life.
I don't think I have either.
I like it.
I'm more of a city slicker.
Oh, stop it. Stop.
It's so God. Gross.
Oh, God. You wreck it all the time. I need to gather myself after Rob said that.
The power that I have.
Well, it's,
that is making the room spin for me right now.
This isn't.
That is making the room spin.
I have the same response as like if my parents were talking about sex.
It's exactly. He knows right? that.
You think they don't?
He knows this.
You think they don't have sex?
Yeah, but not right next
now
to me.
Now you got me thinking about my late father and mother. If
on
they
a
just
Thursday morning.
Oh, God.
Like, it's like if I'm sitting there, my dad's like, what do you know about the Mile High Club? Yuck.
We better get started. Rob's coming over.
Oh, God. Gross.
Let me wipe that off my
bill. Mac, how does it make you feel?
I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mac.
You know why? Because you're broken.
I am.
Yeah, you are. Anyway, the reason it got the title, the erratic movements during the act or if the two parties are not in sync could lead to slippage and crushing.
But no secret.
On the pubic bone. Causing a fracture. That is
I'm fine with it. Your big pasty body. Poor Carrie.
Nasty. Yeah. Of course with his body, you know he saw anything. That is so nasty.
What are
that
you
is
guys doing so nasty. Now? Come on.
We're shaming you.
I know. Everybody had a good time.
Yeah.
Because the Venmo cleared.
That's right. You should see what I wrote in the memo.
Oh, God. We'll
great
take
ride.
A break. Come back with more on the Michael Berry Show. That is so disturbing. I don't even.
Welcome back, Mike.
Hey, elevate your hydration with Liquid IV, America's number one powdered hydration brand. Whether it's morning pre-workout, post-party, or during long flights, their hydration multiplier has you covered. One stick hydrates twice as fast as water and provides essential vitamins and three times the electrolytes of leading sports drinks. With 12 delicious flavors, staying hydrated has never been more exciting. So, join us in making a global impact. Liquid IV has donated 39 million servings across 50 countries. Choose Liquid IV for revitalizing and world-changing hydration. Real people, real flavor, real hydrating. Grab your Liquid IV in bulk nationwide at Costco, or you can get 20% off when you go to liquidiv.com and use code TMOS at checkout. That's 20% off anything when you shop Better Hydration today using promo code TMOS at liquidiv.com. Yes. Yes, Oscar.
May I give a programming note just briefly?
Yes.
One, on camera, we have three cameras in this room. Mm-hmm. You will, and I'm almost 100% positive, so I'm just calling my shot, that you will witness paranormal activity while we did the show, because I know I'm not crazy, and I saw something happen, and you will see it on today's social. So this is a smash cut to it right now.
You saw something?
I saw something that happened physically that you will see
right,
on this
are
episode.
Are you talking like some sort of apparition?
No. Hmm. The movement of a physical object on this console by itself.
I don't buy into this stuff, but yes. I have to share with you. My son is at school.
Yes.
My wife is at work.
But yes.
I am in the house alone.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We are in the middle of a discussion and... it looked as though someone was bending over to pick something up right in front of me. And that happens
today?
In this house today on the broadcast. And I can't tell you by time code when it happened, but it's just.
But this is on camera. It was noticed. This should be on camera.
Like behind you or something like that?
No, right to the, and my peripheral, like right to the left of me.
Why did you not scream? I would be upset.
Because I'm shocked and I didn't want to sound like a crazy person. And I'm right now, I may be when we go back to the tape. Can you get the time marker?
Yeah, I already
this?
Wrote it down.
Great. Because if we go back and we see this, and I'll tell you what moved, this can move by itself.
Yes.
Kelsey.
All right. If that happens and we have it on camera, we have to bring it to the show tomorrow on the bonus show.
Right.
Reason for you to grab the bonus show. We're not trying to show.
That's why. No, you'll see it. You'll see it. We're going to replay on. Well, we'll talk about it tomorrow on the show, but on the bonus show, which is great. We're front selling. But outside of that, you will see it on the social. I'm calling the social for today's show. That's what it'll be. It'll see. You'll see the movement of that can without me doing anything and then looking under the desk thinking that there's a magnet under there. There's not.
I cannot wait.
That's one.
I'm looking. Two. That's cool. I like stuff like
that. Michael Lewis, famous author. He was just on 60 Minutes. Did you catch the interview?
This is the individual who dealt with the Bitcoin brat.
Well, he also wrote Moneyball. And so Michael Lewis is coming in tomorrow. Programming note for and free plug for supporter of this show, Reed Galen and the Lincoln Project.
Very nice.
He will be on. He'll be recording tomorrow in studio. And then I imagine the actual interview will air either early next week or on Friday. Not sure.
At least check out the Lincoln Progress
podcast. And Reed Galen's Substack. Oh, that's all the plugs I have. Paranormal Activity, Michael Lewis on the Lincoln Project, and Reed Galen's Substack. Now, that to say this.
Yes.
And Reed knows me well. And Reed, I'm going to stop reading your texts on air, or my text to you, because that's just not cool.
What did Reed say?
But we're friends, and I'll never divulge state secrets. Not that you ever share them with me.
Does it regard the moving can?
No. He probably thinks I'm a wackadoo now. So Michael Lewis is coming in, right?
Right.
Yes, the author.
I said, I think it would be nice to have an autographed copy of Going Infinite, because Reed will not be in studio, because he's at home in Utah. And I said, would you like me to have a hard copy ready to go so Michael can sign it for you? I know you guys are friends, but I think it'd be nice to have. And he writes, I'm good. Thanks, though.
Well,
I may have crossed the line.
And then he drove away, Mike, with a plum in his mouth.
Reed does travels in different circles.
He surely does.
It's not that big of a deal.
Oh, I just got big timed. Yes, I get that. Mm-hmm. I thought it would be nice.
Well,
can I just give you my logic?
If you go to the author,
yes,
that Reed wants you to sign a copy of that. That's your basically.
I wasn't going to lay this.
Turning Reed Galen, the accomplished founder, political player, operative
yes.
at the highest possible level,
yes.
into a stalker fan.
Yeah, well, I wasn't going to do that. This is how I was going to lay it out.
Oh, you have a plan?
Hey, Reed hasn't requested this, but I think it'd be nice for him to have. I will FedEx it to him as soon as this interview is over.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah, and Oscar makes that request, though. Mike. He makes that request without any pants on.
I thought it would, because I know you, Mike.
Yes.
And I go back to, and Reed's no monster. You're right. He's just been
there. I like an autographed book
said,
when I love the guest.
He's been there, done that, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. I get that.
Yep.
And I hope he's not mad about this conversation, but moving on.
We'll fix it with a fruitcake.
He says this. Oscar, in his mind, man, every famous person I know doesn't have mementos or tokens of the time of like this grand time and this like in history that they've had. This includes you, Mike O'Mara, when I was in your attic and I saw all of these like killer mementos from your world in broadcasting. And I was like, this is so cool. This is like, yeah, keep it moving. Like you just basically ushered me out of there.
Yeah.
And you still don't have those, right? They're gone.
They're up in the attic in Maine.
Okay. That's it.
Some of them. I don't know what's up there.
Donnie Simpson. He has such a close relationship with Michael Jordan that anytime Michael Jordan puts out a shoe, he's on this exclusive list that Donnie Simpson, since day one of the Jordan 1s that have come out, he receives a brand new set of Jordans that are sent to his house, and he just has them in a closet somewhere.
In his size?
Unworn?
In his size, unworn.
Man.
What do you think about that, Donnie?
Man, Mike, we're just tight, man. How you doing, brother? Thanks for the shoes, man. I'm Donnie Simpson.
Donnie,
I got my great shoes.
They're size 4?
They're 7.
I don't know his size, though that is funny. So.
Hey, my size 4's guy. Yeah, man, that's cool. Yeah, put them in the closet with the other one. All 500 of them. Worth about $16 million. Money I really don't need. Yeah, man.
So, I also feel the same way about Reed, where he's like, he just does what he does, and that's all it is.
I get it.
I I am not in that world. So I also would, I think from a lens that going back in time, I was like, man, it would be cool to have, but I'm never going to do it for my, they would never do it for themselves, but I could facilitate.
Well, some would, some wouldn't. Jay Leno used to get people to sign books, did he not? Didn't he say, can't you
yeah,
sign
I believe
that right
he
here?
Did, come to think of it.
Really?
Yeah.
Jay would do that.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if you want to know type of guy that does, it's Jay Leno, and Reed's probably aware of that.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's a show.
So you're saying hacks do that.
Hacks do that.
Here's another example, yeah. Mike. There's a show on, I believe it's called, it's something to do with collectors. It's hosted by Blair Warner, Lisa Welchel mm-hmm. from Facts of Life. And I happened upon it this week, and a man cow was on.
Okay.
Eric Mueller, a noted disc jockey. He has rooms filled of guitars of guests that he's had signed when they've come by the studio.
Hack move.
Yeah, it is a hack
move. I'm writing to read now. My apologies. Mike O just told me this was a hack move. Disregard the text.
Good.
Yeah.
I look forward to seeing what he has to say.
Thank you.
Yeah, I never ran out when we'd have a big guest on to get an autograph. Mm.
I did.
Hack move.
Yeah, it is. Second day in a row I've been called a hack.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Oscar
said yesterday.
Sorry about that. Hey,
right.
Before, speaking of hack.
Yeah.
No, this is not hack. This is something I want to do. So you remember when I said my wife and my son on their list, bucket list of where they'd like to go is Japan.
Sure.
And I always think about international travel this way. I would love it if I had a connection of some kind, somebody to, especially in a real foreign land where I've never been, lead me by the hand. So I'm here to say, after I said that on the show, Joel Rogers, 1,000%. If we are able to pull that together and we are able to arrange that in some way financially, which right now is questionable.
Right.
Joel, I would love you to be the tour guide and coordinate with your pilot schedule because you go to Japan all the time. I would love to have you be our tour guide in Japan. I know you reached out from Japan and sent a video saying you'd love to be my tour guide, and I'm here to say publicly on this forearm.
Yes, right here.
This forearm right here. Joel, can you think of a better guide? I can't.
No.
Smart guy.
And
loves
at least,
Japan.
At least one of your sights to see would be a Japanese roller coaster.
No.
Yeah, well, you know what?
No, Rube. Hack no third time you're going.
He loves but you know
I know he loves a roller coaster. I'm not going to Japan to ride an amusement park roller coaster.
Mike, would
thank
it be
you
your first
much.
International puke?
You know what? I don't care to go on a roller coaster. No, it's a sensitive subject, Rob. You know that it's a
I
sensitive
understand.
Subject.
This
but
man.
Boy, would that, do you guys approve of that choice?
100%.
Wouldn't that be fun?
I've spent more time
that?
With him than all
and
of us. So he's I know he's a great guy.
Couldn't I right a tremendous wrong by doing that with my family?
Hmm? No.
No.
Why not?
Because Joel is a good guy. And you, for 7 days, in the
I don't want him with us.
And the Empire
you know,
of the Sun.
Not, I'm not going to burden him for 7 days. But like a couple of days to get the lay of the land?
You
wouldn't
could
that
write
be cool?
Could you write
hold
a
on,
travel
hold on. Well, I'm talking to Oscar. I want to make sure. He seems to be disapproving of this idea, and that's the reason I brought it up.
Yes.
I wanted to see what you guys
you
think.
Can, you should let him give you suggestions, but I
but
know,
I'd love
I
to meet
you.
Him in Tokyo. I would love to.
For and, a cup of coffee, and then you cut. You
might
know,
be tea.
Tea. You're right. Thank
no,
you, tea.
I would.
Hi, tea.
I could spend a
Saki.
Day with Joel. I could spend a day or two or three with Joel and my fam, hanging out,
you're
going
really
to different places.
You're not really good with listeners, though.
But this is different. This is different. Do you remember what Joel did with our book? Do you remember?
Yes.
Have you
yes.
forgotten what
you
he did with our
with
book?
With him.
But the point is that incredible support of what we do. I have met Joel multiple times.
For 15 minutes.
I would have a good time. Yeah. I'm not as prickly as you think I am.
No, you're not a bad person. I just know you. If you people
listen.
Are into you.
No.
Somehow you're like,
nope.
Well.
No. Let me tell you why.
Why?
Because I think he would be providing my family with a vital
service. Oh, you're
going to
put your family first. I get that. Then that makes sense.
It would be a family service just knowing, I don't know anything
let
about
Carla
the culture.
Let Carla be your buffer.
I don't know anything about the culture.
Yeah.
And I'd love to do that. And perhaps, we could see the sights during the day, and then Carla and Michael would go back to the hotel, and then Joel could show me Tokyo After Hours.
Oh, O'Mara After Dark. Prickly every night.
Joel, how's your karaoke?
Thank you.
We're still at the bar drinking scotch and smoking cigarettes. All right.
Oh, we're not waking up at 6 a.m. for the next excursion. Daddy needs to sleep.
Taking a little nappy poo. I'll be going out to the Japanese whiskey bar. And by the way, Trip, that whiskey you sent, absolutely fantastic.
I love that you want to go.
Yeah.
I do. Yeah, but good thing. We'll see. We'll be right back. Yep. All matters. Old purse strings. That's what matters. Hey. Relive and preserve your cherished memories with Legacy Box. Safely digitize your family's precious moments. It's so easy. Visit legacybox.com/TMOS for an exclusive 40% discount. They handle over 15 types of analog media, including VHS tapes, Super 8mm films, and photo negatives. As the world's largest digitizer with a decade of experience... Let me start that again. As the world's largest digitizer with a decade of... I'll say it the right way.
Thank you.
As the world's largest digitizer with a decade of experience, Legacy Box has helped over 1 million families relieve... Legacy Box. As the world's largest digitizer with a decade of experience, Legacy Box has helped over 1 million families relive special moments. From weddings to Christmases to beach trips to school plays, and of course, St. Swithin's Day.
Kippers again?
Go to legacybox.com/TMOS to save 40%. Buy today, send it in when you're ready. Go to legacybox.com/TMOS. Legacybox.com/TMOS. Taste test time! Oh no! I'm sorry.
Wrong.
What? Wrong. Remind me that Nikki's coming up, please.
Well, this is the NFL music.
Yeah. I know. I should know that. It's time to talk NFL football, ladies and gentlemen, with our own Nikki Diamond, who has been coming to us from that wonderful community outside Pahrump, Nevada, Desert Greens.
Yes.
Where the sunshine comes out to play.
You know, Nikki would be good to take to Japan.
Right. And Nikki, can I ask you a question about where you do your shoots? Do the other residents of Desert Greens get annoyed when you set up your lawn chair out in front of the street sign in front of Desert Greens to do your reports? I was just curious about that.
Not at all, Mike. They have very bad vision here. Usually, they can't really tell what's going on. I just tell them that they're going to be on TikTok. They don't know what that means, but they get excited.
Oh, and maybe a little scared too at the same time.
Yes.
Right?
Well, you know, I can be very loud and abrasive, Mike.
I have to get your opinion on this, Nikki Diamond, because you know we talk football every week, and you are in the know, as you've said many, many times. When it comes to football. Nikki, as a New York Giants fan, I've suffered way back, going back to the 70s. I have suffered being a fan of this team. I've also enjoyed great triumphs as a fan. But for some particular reason, nothing seems more painful than what the Giant fandom is going through right now. Do you see any positives coming out of this just lost franchise, the New York Giants?
No.
That'll do it. Let's get right to the game, Nikki. Thank you so
Nikki,
very much.
Nikki, do you want to do AI Nikki first, or do you want to go first?
You know what? Let's get this stupid computer out of the way first. AI Nikki, take it away.
All right.
AI Nikki is back, baby. I may be artificial, but the cash I win you is real. Take the Eagles -4.5 at the Rams. The Cardinals +3 at home versus the Bengals, and the Bills -5.5 in London versus the Jags. Good news, TMOS fans. You'll be able to enjoy Mike, Rob and Oscar long after they are dead in 12 to 27.5 years thanks to artificial intelligence. I'm about to listen to AI Mus in the morning. Like a ma.
AI Mus. AI Mus.
I'm a
AI Mus.
Yes.
That is the best. Fantastic. Stupid idiot, Bernard. Yeah. Oh, that's fantastic.
Yes, well done, AI Nikki. First of all, I'm going to say we didn't touch on this last week, but a little Travis Kelce, I'm just going to say a little warning for you. As someone in the past who has dated a famous pop star, I had a soiree if you will, back in the day with the one Belinda Carlisle. And she could go all night, if you know what I'm saying.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Belinda Carlisle?
Yes, yes. Heaven is a place. On Pahrump.
That's you know, that's one out of left field, isn't it, Oscar? That's
yeah,
one
heaven that is really a place on earth.
Yeah, I did not expect it.
There you go. A little wild card action. Hey, let's start with who got the quarterback pick right in the draft and who got it wrong. How about those Panthers? Number one pick. They traded up. Let's trade up to draft a guy who's 5'4". Is he a jockey? No, he's our quarterback. So they're 0-4. Maybe they didn't know that height matters. But whatever. They're taking on the Lions, who are red hot, baby. They're now
they
American team. The Detroit Lions, they're given 10 points. They're going to win easy, Lions in and out. Then you got the Texans who sat there in two and said, hey, we'll take a guy who's 6'3". That sounds smarter, doesn't it? Yes. 300 yards in every game. They're 2-2. They're looking good. They're at the Falcons. They're coming back from London. They got jet lag. They don't have a quarterback. Texans getting 1.5. Go, Houston. And then the game of the night is Sunday night. Cowboys at the Niners.
Here we go.
Historic franchises. Cowboys, 3.5-point underdogs. I say this is a field goal game. Take the Cowboys in the 3.5. And then we got tonight. Ah, yes, Thursday night football. Amazon Prime. Boy, want their money back on this one. Commanders and Bears.
Oh, God.
You guys ever go to like a porn site? I'm looking at you, Oscar, like a U-porn. And you can choose, you know, your genre, your fetish. And you go, oh, look at that. It's well shot. And their women are hot. And the guys are too. Not for me. Amateur. That's what I want.
Yeah.
A couple in Toledo, Ohio, in their basement with the TV on in the background. They're unattractive. They don't know what they're doing. That's exactly what I want.
It's awfully
that's
specific.
That's the kind of night tonight. Commanders, Bears by 6.5. They're going to win, but you're too many points. Take the Bears in the 6.5. But always remember, let them out, baby. Dickie Diamond is the best.
There he goes. Oh, my God. He was on fire today.
That description was so to the T.
I know.
Yes.
Almost like he's done it.
I want to know what other windows he has open.
Yeah, but you know what? If you're in the market, right? If you're in the market of Chicago and you're in the market of Washington, why not?
You'll take it.
I saw it, and you'll I kind of got a little gleam in my eye.
But you know they rolled out their B squad.
Oh, they did. They did. It's that's really rough.
Not for the commentary. Just like... If that was for anybody working on the games,
yes.
Considering, let's say they're union, they get paid regardless, who knows?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's like, oh, that's when I pull a hammy. Like, I don't have to be there for that
one. Yeah, I think the rival to the New York Giants for the suffering fan base goes to the Chicago Bear fans right now, who are suffering as well. Now, do we have time for a soda?
We do not. We will do
tomorrow,
it on the bonus show, yes.
Bonus show.
Mañana.
Or even Monday, we'll do that.
Monday.
Okay. We'll take a break. We have to. We will take a break, and we will come back with the flip side, because this is a very busy show.
Yes.
And sometimes when I have taken a liberal vacation, I lose my place. That's just the way it goes.
We're over here now.
You're so liberal.
Yes,
always
I am.
Always such a liberal.
Yeah. What do you want to give away now, Mike? F you, F ball. We'll be right back. Hey, everybody. This portion of the Mike O'Mara Show is coming to you from the Derm Glow Facial Boutique.
Ah.
Autumn is truly here. I know it because I just saw former House Speaker Kevin McCarthy carving a jack-o'-lantern into a very sad face.
Oh, poor guy.
But it's your job to take care of your own face. Why not try complimentary virtual skin consultations and self-care appointments at DermGlowSkin.com. Grab Carla's Beauty Bundle, 11 travel-size products that give you the perfect skincare routine for the morning and nighttime. It's all on sale right now for $60. Get it at DermGlowSkin.com. Travel kits are also available. Clear Skin Kit, Daily Essentials Kit, and Anti-Aging Kit. It's perfect for traveling or just to try out Carla's skincare products. DermGlow ships everywhere and features Afterpay, so make the pampering esthetician a part of your self-love journey. And be sure to tell them that actress Dixie Carter sent you. When you saw her on Designing Women, she played Julia Sugarbaker, as you know. She was always positively glowing, and not just because she was boning Al Holbrook. It was because of the magic of DermGlow. Give yourself the old Dixie treatment. Thanks to DermGlow. Rest in peace. You're not normal.
Hello.
Roll it. Let me roll it.
Flip, flop, and fly. The flip side.
Fun fact, Mike. Hal Holbrook never had a penis problem when he was in that position. Never
That's
fractured
fantastic.
Anything.
All yes, right, sorry.
Today, go the old Dixie treatment. We start with your son today on the flip side.
I'm proud of this.
Yeah, he speaks Spanish so good. And
all right, we'll get the review from a native Spanish speaker here.
I watched this multiple times at home.
Did you understand?
Can't wait. Okay. Yeah, I can't wait for the world to hear this.
All right, okay, so very this good. Is, and he's now
10.
10. I kind of had him at 9 for some
reason. By the way, he's been taking Spanish from our friend Angel down in Colombia for a very, very long time.
I thought his name was Angel.
Let's move on, all shall
right.
we?
Yeah.
No, well, it's pronounced Angel.
Thank you, Mac.
It was a joke. Okay.
And barely that.
Yes, and nobody laughed, and we moved on with life.
Yep. You try. You keep trying. But you know what we got learning. Here? We got your son. He habla español.
Hola. Me llamo Miguel. Tengo 10 años. Mi cumpleaños es el 19 de julio. En mi familia hay 3 personas. Mi mamá, mi papá y yo. Vivo en Florida. Vivo en una casa. Mi nacionalidad es americano. Tengo 2 hermanos. Tengo 3 mascotas. 2 perros, un serpiente. Mi papá es un podcaster y mi mamá es un esteticien. Adiós. Chao.
When I tell you, I don't know what it's like to have your own kid. So this is like, my godson adjacent. I was so beaming with pride. Yeah, I was running around the house showing. I was like, look, Shannon, look at our godson. Look at him.
It's just.
He's literally El Diablo Blanco that can speak Spanish.
Yeah.
I told him today, he's on a bit of a roll lately. You know, last week, you know, kids have good weeks and bad weeks. Last week, missed homework assignment. It was kind of a big thing for him. Yeah. This week, 100 on one of his tests that only 3 kids in the class got 100 on. It's just he's a lot of fun, and well, I think the word that comes to play with my son is something that I didn't even know I aspired for him to be. He has initiative, which he did that on his own. He has initiative to do different things that it really surprises me, and that is not taught. That is not something that, you know, is on the list.
Drive.
The parent list.
Yeah.
It's called just, ganas, guts.
It's kind of fun. It's kind of fun to do that. So thank you for playing that.
I was so surprised when I found it on Hinge, but it was just a wonderful video.
It's okay. Let's move on, shall we? Thank you very much.
This is a throwback that I never knew about. Now, when I think of Michael Jordan, I think of a smoothly shaved head. Don't you?
Yeah, because that's what we know.
You can go back to the North Carolina days where he had a head of hair.
Well, let's go back to, I believe this is 1987, when he was doing an endorsement for Ultrastar hair care products. And in this commercial, he even sings.
Michael Jordan used to be a superstar.
Now I'm an Ultrastar.
Ultrastar is Ultrastar.
Ultra Star.
Ultra Star
conditioner.
He does have.
He's a baby.
Yeah, he is. He's a kid.
Ultra in men's hair care.
Ultra sexy. Ultra Star.
From Johnson Products.
That is absolutely, that is probably one of the first he
it's
ever
gotta be
did.
Like his TV
commercials.
Yeah. It's like when they're like, oh, yeah, we'll take this Mattress King money. Yeah. We'll do this.
Exactly. You know, and then, by the way, when I think of those products, I think of a Ultra Sheen.
Yes.
And I think of Don Cornelius of Soul Train. What
exactly.
is like Afro Sheen, Ultra Sheen, and Ultra Sheen Cosmetics.
I do.
I'm Don Cornelius.
There was a comic that once said no matter what time you got up on a Saturday, Soul Train was always on.
Oh, love Soul Train.
Soul Train
love
is great.
Soul Train. I thought Soul Train was so much better than American Bandstand.
Well, of course
I always
it
did.
Is. Yeah.
I had more fun.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. And let's close with this. This is an audio tape only. Good news. I've got one kid who just left college, got one kid in college. And when you talk college loan forgiveness, I mean, this is great.
The Biden administration announced that it will forgive $9 billion in student loans. Well, that should at least cover most of it, said one NYU kid.
About right.
Yes, sirree. New York University. Fantastic. Sounds like old Seth probably had a little inside information on that one,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
We got to get out of here. We'll be back with a brand new bonus show tomorrow. Make sure you don't miss it. Thanks for all the great pictures today, Mac. Good job.
Right.
For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, this is Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Size five.
Ciao, ciao.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Just swallow it whole. Shouldn't be a problem for you.
Who is this f***ing lunk anyway? He looks like a ball sack in a toupee.